I recommend a work group be established to develop a resource tracking SOP to ensure accurate resource tracking throughout an event that provides for operational accountability as well as fiscal tracking. Master After Action Report from Civil Unrest in Portland, Oregon, 2020. Quote, leadership from UPD, UCISD PD, UCSO, and TXDPS demonstrated no urgency for establishing a command and control structure. Critical incident review, active shooter at Robb Elementary School in May 2022. Although law enforcement was part of the ICS structure, lack of a co-location at incident command post was partly attributed to the dynamic nature of the incidents and available staffing. After Action Report on the Maui Wildfires from August 2023. This is your Hope Is Not a Plan host, Kevin Pinnell, and today I'm going to equip listeners with practical strategies to transform well-intentioned plans into tangible results. Welcome to the Hope Is Not a Plan podcast, where we address tough questions head-on, face our problems, and highlight our hopes by providing actionable planning steps to improve ourselves, mind, body, and spirit. Now, let's get logged in and get locked on to this episode of the Hope Is Not a Plan podcast. Welcome back, everyone. Despite having the tools for success, some organizations often struggle to translate processes and training into effective action. It's not only evident in the after-action reports I just read or about human attacks or disasters, it's also true in the world of project and change management. So let's go over the challenge here, the disconnect between process and practice. In the world I used to live in, disaster and emergency response, there are processes and templates that exist for training and exercises and real-world response, all of them, they all exist. These templates and processes largely fall under what's called the Incident Command System, or ICS, and then how you use those is called incident management. As you heard, sometimes we don't use that, and sometimes we don't use it in the past 4 or 5 years. And I'll share, on old episodes, I've talked about the Incident Command System has been around since the 70s. So, nothing new. Similarly, in program and project management, there are guidelines and best practices, and these come in the form largely of the two big buckets. There's the project management body of knowledge for kind of waterfall stuff, which has some agile, and then there's an agile practice guide, and there's other methodologies, but those are the big buckets, and those exist. Those have existed for a while, right? Where I've seen a big disconnect is when we take these templates and guidelines, and then we create exercises and practical opportunities is when we don't do that, right? When we know book stuff, but not practical stuff. So how can we address this as planners and process facilitators and leaders of teams? By cultivating a culture of action. To kick off this cultivation, I say we have to raise awareness, right? We have to express and foster the desire to change something, to get better. So all those lessons we learned that I talked about earlier, and that's just a super small sampling. Google after action report from any disaster, from any project, not working together, not following a common process are the themes that you will find. But then we have to share knowledge, right? And these are the, what I mentioned before, the awareness, the desire, the knowledge, just the first three steps in the ADCAR change management methodology, which I will dive deeper into as that's important. I've talked about it in the past. We use it all the time in project and program management and portfolio management. But for now, let's just focus on that K, on that knowledge. So I'm going to reintroduce something I mentioned before, and we'll talk about knowledge action gap, right? This is the gap where our teams may have studied something, but they may have never done it before. And on that, as leaders, that's where we need to see, oh, did I provide this template, let alone have I walked someone through this before? And I know I've learned from not doing that, unfortunately. Execution counts towards positive muscle memory. And I say positive muscle memory because when we do things over and over and we learn from it, whether we're perfect at it or not, which is never going to happen, even if we get lessons learned and we change something, it's positive, right? We're moving forward, as opposed to if I keep doing the same wrong thing over and over again and never learn it, that to me is like a negative muscle memory. But you can get good muscle memory, meaning you're good at something, whether it's a real response or a real project or not, by practice. Right, through both real responses and projects, or by doing repetitive drills and practicing things like writing objectives, creating project plans. When you do that over and over again, which you can do for anything, I've done it before for fun for a barbecue, because I'm a nerd like that, planning wise. it helps. It makes a difference. You've done it. It's not the first time you've seen it when you're on a scene or you're at a big event or you're given this project. You have practiced it. So how and why do these gaps continue to exist in 2024? There's some legit reasons, and we can address those. There are competing priorities, right? Different people want different things at all levels of organizations, whether it's the public sector, private sector, healthcare, technology, construction, whatever. And there is pressure. Someone screaming loud and they're of a high position, that's going to put pressure on you to do something, and it may make you rush and not do it very well. Versus, what are the long-term benefits? Are we looking at, is this decision the best for now because someone wants it, but not so good for the longer term? And that's tough when we're trying to do things. So if we have folks that are new to a whole sector of knowledge in your given space, then that can cause some problems. Versus if we give them the opportunity to practice, we help make that happen, because a lack of understanding or inadequate communication, right, is not good. And that is often, as you've talked about, when you don't co-locate a command center, you're not talking to each other well, period. Doesn't matter if you have radios and cell phones and landlines and satellites. It does not matter. Face-to-face, an emergency is awesome if you can do it. For planned event, for sure. For projects, you know, a lot of people work on remote, but on camera, huge benefit. That should be a requirement for everybody across the board. Resistance to change. This one is the hardest one, because we can reprioritize lists. We can make sure that people are on camera, or at least, you know, inspire that or give us the technology to do it. But we can't change people without putting some work into it. And some people, as much as they think they want to change ahead of time, when it comes time to actually change, they don't. And they don't do it. And they get worried about, how are we going to do this? Well, build it into your plan. Practice it. It's not that big of a deal. Now, let's cultivate a culture of action. So as us, as people together in this Hope Is Not a Plan podcast, that we want to use hope to ignite, right? We want to take action to transform. It is on us to create this environment where adherence to process, prioritizing training, and actively practicing skills become the norm. Now, I've said before, relationships over process. But if you don't have process anyway, you're going to need to build relationships just to even get to that point. So how do we do this? Here's three things that are helpful, and there's others, but these are ones that I'm calling out now. Process optimization, right? Clear communication and employee understanding of the process. So here is the process we use. We are going to use this all the time, and we're going to do this whether it's a planned event or an incident. So that's for the public safety, emergency management folks, or for projects. Here's the template we use for these kinds of projects, right? And that sets the foundation. Now, within that, there's different methods for monitoring and, you know, encouraging adherence. Like, I can check in on your documentation or walk around when, you know, we're on scene or at an event. And it's positive, right? In fact, sometimes you have to get trained before you can work in a position, which makes sense. I think it's a great, and you have to be observed to do it. That's fantastic. For me, I'm largely remote, so I can look online, look at project plans, look at status reports, right? And give some feedback. Now, you also, when you start to know the basic process, the good outline is make the process fit the team and the situation, right? Don't shoehorn the team into the static process. So this one could be a little tricky, but get a process, work that process, then make the process work for you. So process optimization, that's the first step for this culture of action that we're going to build. The second is you have to make time for training, right? Cops don't get enough time for training. Firefighters got to fit that in. Project and program managers, we can do it if we have time, not during a go live planning or regular project stuff, right? And it's different. So there are time management strategies that we can budget time for our people. And that's what we should do. There are modules online on LinkedIn Learning. And again, I have no affiliation with all these different things where we can learn different methodologies. There's incident command system courses online. There's project management, agile things online, tons of them. I have found it very helpful that I tell other teams, if my team is going to have an event where we're focused on us because we need to get better so we can help other people get better, and say, hey, during this time, we're not available because we need to reserve our time as well, right? And that cuts down on interruptions and it reserves their time. So I let them know, hey, if you need something for any of these folks, let me know and I'll be happy to help you out. But you really have to carve that time out, whether it's physical training, whether it's shooting training, whether it's project planning training. I'm mixing these public safety and project things, but the gist of what you do is making time for training exists in whatever industry. Similar to the second one is prioritizing practice, right? We can make drills and simulations a regular part of the routine. If at every small event that happens once a month, we did this good planning process, we'd get really good at it quickly, right? If every project, you make sure you write two or three good SMART objectives, by the time you do your fifth, 10th project, you have a pretty good idea because you're going to do a bunch of them. You're not going to just knock two or three out perfectly. But these scenarios need to be realistic, right? They need to provide constructive feedback. I need to foster a learning environment, not like, you suck and you should have done this. And you know what? In the public safety world, that probably exists a little bit more because there's a little more machismo and a little less BS than there is in the private industry, honestly. And sometimes that's great, but sometimes it doesn't help. So what makes this practice more enjoyable too is there's a tangible outcome, right? There's real world improvements you're making. So like with our teams, it's here's these practice projects we're going to do, and we're actually then going to do those. They're going to make our processes better. We're going to pick new tools. We're going to plan for next year's training, right? It's not just make-believe stuff, which you lose people. I've taught exercises and courses and things a lot over my years, and you lose people when it's just all pretend and there's no tangible outcome and they're not sold in. And that makes sense. I mean, it's not great. So creating this culture of action, right? Process optimization, making time for training, prioritizing practice, and particularly to get this, you know, knowledge and skills gap. Those are three good areas to focus on. And by doing this, we'll improve safety, we will increase efficiency, we will reduce costs, and we'll have a more confident and empowered workforce, right? This is where, to me, that motto, we don't rise to the level of our expectations, we fall to the level of our training, comes into play, right? It's evident in those quotes. A work group to develop resource tracking. Although some of these folks got together, other folks didn't get together in the combined command posts. Hey, if we would have done this in incident command structure, we would have been able to help staffing and incidents better, right? So we hadn't trained up to that level to be ready to handle these events. And I'll tell you, you don't have to train for like a, you know, in the case of Maui, like an entire locality sized fire. Just train in little ones and do it over and over again. And then you can scale it. These are scalable skills. I've seen my teammates do it. And if you can do something well at a small thing, and then you can think, oh, well, I would do more of this or that, or I would expand to this. That's where that exercise comes into play, is you give them exercises that make them more complex. During the chaos, we don't have time to pull out the playbook and learn or relearn concepts, whether that's basic project management, if you're leading a program and a whole building's going up, or you're trying to coordinate a fire that's taken up thousands of acres. You just don't have time to learn right there. Not that you're not going to learn new things, but you don't learn the basics then, right? We should have learned and practiced them. And so for us as leaders, we need to give our people that opportunity to make that time. So today we touched on the disconnect between process and practice that exists when book knowledge is the only experience our team members have. I introduced the knowledge action gap that exists if we don't prioritize practical training opportunities for our teams. We touched on the key focus areas of process optimization, making time for training, and prioritizing realistic practice scenarios as ways to begin to build the culture of action. Here's your call to action. As you move further into the week, I challenge each of you to identify potential areas for improvement in your own organizations, maybe in yourself and in your teams. Always getting better, right? Continuous process improvement. So good listener, by taking proactive steps, regardless of the scale, you, capital Y-O-U, can significantly impact your individual life, professionally and personally, your team, the organization's forward progress, and you can achieve success at all levels of response, of managing programs, or when planning for projects. Thank you all for listening to Bridging the Gap Between Knowledge and Action. I do hope this episode ignites your passion. I really do, to make a difference in your own knowledge gaps and your actions to begin transforming not only yourself, but those around you in a positive way. This podcast, Hope Is Not a Plan, is available on Apple, Spotify, and most other platforms where you can also, and I ask that you do, leave a review, subscribe, share with others you think this would be helpful for. Everybody, please stay safe out there. Visit hopesnotaplan.com for this write-up and past episodes. Follow me on Hope's Not a Plan on Twitter and Instagram, Hope is Not a Plan Facebook, and there's a Hope is Not a Plan YouTube channel where you get fitness ideas 15 seconds at a time through my workouts and some cool soundtracks. Know that hope ignites and that action transforms, and I wish you all Godspeed.